Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, reminder that we are obviously being webcast tonight, so if you'd like, if you're watching the webcast, call us, tell us where you're calling from, and we'd like to talk to you on the air, 1-800-449-8686. Tell us where you're watching the webcast tonight. We have coming up, actually I got some information about the Irish Regiment of Canada. We've got a flashback, too, that we're going to play by request. And it, I don't know which one it is, but we're like digging into some of the older stuff that we haven't been able to get to. I'll take a phone call here. RC, hi.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hendry. We're watching the webcast at Bradley Military Academy, and you're looking pretty good. It's really neat.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question. I'm on my way for Thanksgiving dinner with my friend Hector Golila to Northern California, but we're going up in a Dodge Magnum, and I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to get out of that.
Get out of what?
Well, get out of going up in his car.
You don't want to go up in a...
You ain't heard?
I ain't heard what?
Oh, the Dodge Magnum is totally ghetto. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, all right.
Well, why don't you want to go up in it?
Because I don't want to go. I told you once before I ain't taking a Beaner mobile. And I don't...
Get out of here. What do you mean a Dodge Magnum's ghetto? All right, now listen to this. This is a little bit of football history. I was just telling Harry this. And I got done reading a book called Tom Landry and His Boys. This is a very interesting story because we were talking about the Cowboys. Mark's going out to Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend to see his beloved Jets against the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, we're hoping that the Jets get out of there with no more injuries and also maybe a win. But I found this out reading this book. This is really interesting because we're talking about what are the biggest rivalries in pro football, Bears, Packers, and so on and so forth. But one of the biggest is the Cowboys and Redskins. And do you know why? You may think it's because down through the years they have battled for the Eastern Division of the NFC, and that's true. But it actually started in 1960 when the Cowboys became members of the National Football League. You see, a few people actually think about this, but it's true. The Cowboys were the very first team, very first professional football team in the South. Now, Texas, we don't really think of as the Deep South, but it's South. I mean, it's Texas. It was part of the, you know, the whole rebel thing. And up to that time, guess what the number one team in the South was? The Washington Redskins. You want to know why? Well, number one, there's two reasons. One, this was before there was a national television contract, so there were regional TV packages. And the Redskins had a thing called the Redskins Television Network. And the Redskins Television Network covered all of the South, Washington, D.C., down through Virginia, down through the Deep South. And they had that market sewed up. And there's another reason why the Redskins were very popular in the South, and forgive me, but this it has to do with it. George Marshall, the guy that owned the Redskins, would not play any black players, didn't draft them, didn't have them on his team. The Washington Redskins, they might not have, you know, they didn't have no Indians either, but they sure as hell didn't have any black guys. Now along come the Cowboys. They're granted a franchise. And the Redskins don't want it. They want this. No, not these guys. We don't want those guys in the league, you know, this and that. Put it off for 2 years. So there was a lot of backstairs dealing going on so that the Cowboys would not only be a member of the National Football League, but would also get some draft rights because it was really squirrely the way that team started. They didn't. They started drafting players before they were actually awarded a franchise and so on and so forth. But guess what happened? And guess when George Marshall said, okay, you guys, I'll give you my vote for the Cowboys to join the league. The Redskins got a fight song. It's called Hail to the Redskins. Now, the guy, and I think I don't know if it was Gil Brandt or one of those early guys with the Cowboys, he called up to find out if Hail to the Redskins was public domain or did anybody own the rights to it. And he found out that no one did. It was just simply a song that the Redskins hadn't bothered to copyright. So he got the rights to it. And he calls up George Marshall, who is the owner of the Redskins, and he says, hey, George, you guys going to be playing Hail to the Redskins on Sunday? He says, every damn Sunday we play it. He says, not this Sunday, you ain't. That's my song. And Marshall, in order to get the rights to Hail to the Redskins back, finally gave his, you know, vote to Dallas expanding into the South. And hence, the Redskin hold on the Southern market was broken. And also, the Redskins finally got into the 20th century, started drafting black players, and, you know, eventually actually became a football team somebody wanted to go watch. But it all started back then. There was this rivalry and this jockeying for position between the Cowboys and Skins. They didn't like each other from the gate. And so that's the story of the Cowboys and the Redskins. Thank you for joining us here on Storytime. I'm Sheriff John. Listen, we're going to get our bologna sandwiches and our Jell-O in just a moment, huh? Okay, and a glass of milk, too. We'll be right back. Okay, let's enjoy this Crusader Rabbit cartoon.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, if you've been watching the webcast tonight, you want to talk to us, give us a call. This is what we do every webcast night. We'll be talking to people from around the country or elsewhere in the world. Tell us where you're watching the thing at. And we got to play a by-request flashback. If you want to request something, you can email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. And here is the request. This comes to us from who? Gwen Stefani? Anyway, oh, Charles, I'm sorry. Phil, can you please play a flashback of Clara Bingham, who was a teacher who took a kid's cell phone and threw it under a bus because the kid was talking to his dad in Iraq? Thanks for the best radio show I've ever heard, Charles. Here you go, Charles. This is Clara Bingham.
You know, you were talking about you're teaching at a private school?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't know where you get off thinking that gives you the right to belittle a parent in front of their child. What makes you any better than that child that back-talked you if you're going to get on the phone and talk like an insane person to his parent?
Well,
and as far as throwing the phone out in the street, I would have you in court, in small claims court, to buy me a new telephone. If that's what teaches at a private school, I am proud to be an employee and working in the public school system, because you are the reason why kids leave the private schools, come back to the public schools, so that they are talked to respectfully and not belittled. You are nuts.
All right, Ms. Bingham, your response?
Well, that's the first time I've heard anyone say they're leaving the private schools to go to public school. That's not the case. It's the other way around.
Happens
they're
that
leaving
all
the public schools
all the time
and they're coming
here
to the private schools because of these women such as Alice, who is not quite sure why she's a teacher. I'm there to teach.
I'm not a teacher, woman.
And
I'm a nationally certified sign language interpreter.
Right.
And I work
that's your job
with
this week.
Bound.
Did you do that on a matchbook, or how'd you get that degree?
Okay, that's not necessary.
Well, she's, you know, running her mouth.
Where did you get your degree, Heifer?
I went to Heifer. That's what they teach
Heifer
in public school.
No, that's what
that's
we call people like you.
And I will tell
there
you
are
that
schools in the Atlanta
this woman right
place
here is exactly
who,
like a lot of parents that I deal with. I would kick her face in, and then I'd jump up and down on it and probably make an improvement, too.
All right, now we're really acting
you
like
know,
children
you know
here.
What? When you
I
start
mean,
talking like that,
you
all that
shows
is your
didn't
lack
you,
of intelligence.
Didn't you just call me a heifer,
when you
idiot?
Speak to, when you
oh,
speak
you listen to me, you
to other people
listen
that
you,
way,
listen,
all
you
that
call,
shows
you
is your lack
me,
of intelligence.
You call me a heifer, hillbilly, so don't start in on me, okay?
Now, that, well, you're calling her a hillbilly.
Well, she started it. Didn't you? Didn't you?
Hey, if it waddles and quacks, call it a duck.
You know something, Alice? I'd kick your face in till it looked better.
You're nuts.
No, I would. I would not.
You
oh,
are
man
absolutely
I would come
nuts
around. I'd come around with a flying spinning kick and kick your face
if
in
you
so
could
hard
haul your big ass up off
your
the floor.
That your
oh,
husband
please
your husband would actually consider having sex with you again. And
if
I would,
that's
oh man,
the way
if you
talk,
two women are an example of educators,
oh my God,
both of you guys ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You're both talking like idiots.
Now wait a second, Phil.
All right, I've got the recording
no
here. Now hold on, Alice. And
go
you
for
and
it
you too, Claire. I've got the recording here of the truck running over the cell phone that you threw. And go ahead, Mark, if you've got that. Now this was recorded by Channel 6.
that that you flung the phone out into the street to be run over.
You know something? That's one phone that kid won't be using anymore. So he'll have to take his top secret calls from Iraq another way. Maybe he can borrow your phone.
All right, okay.
Calls.
All right.
Look, Mr. Henry, I got better things to do than talk to this mountain trash. Now, I am trying to be an educator and a teacher.
And where did you get your degree from?
From a school.
From a school.
Yeah, a big red schoolhouse like you went to with a blackboard and the teacher, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb, that kind of thing.
All right, there it is. Clara Bingham by request. Clara talking to this lady about taking a kid's cell phone and pitching it out into the street because he's talking to his pops in Iraq, and she don't want no kids taking top secret phone calls from Iraq on school time. 1-800-449-8686. Well, look at this. I got some calls lined up here. Now, here is this cat, Rom. Rom, dude.
Hello, Fred. How are
What's
you?
What's up, brother? How you been? Every time we do our webcast, Rom checks in from Bangalore, India. How's it going, man?
I'm like your outpost here, you know, the lone.
This is heavy, dude. Actually, I got another guy that listens to us in India. He's in Delhi, and occasionally he gives us an email shout and sends us a picture too. Now, did you just send me that picture, Ram? I had it on my homepage of the guy worshiping his guns. Was that yours?
Yes, sir. It was.
Tell us about that picture.
Well, it's weird, you know, because there is a festival here where people kind of pay respect to the thing that makes them earn their livelihood.
Right.
For example, you would pay respect to your mic, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So this guy is a forest officer. So the thing that makes him earn his money is his guns. So this guy was literally worshipping his guns and, prostrating before his guns.
And so you walked by and took a picture of it and sent it to us.
Yes.
As far out. What Bangalore is where in India, so that we have a kind of a visual on the map?
It's in South India, sir. You know, if you look at India, it's sticking out into the Indian Ocean like a little finger.
It's that little tip way down at the end?
Yeah, it's slightly above that, but it's in that area. It's in South India.
Ask him if he's clear.
Hold on for a minute, Ram. What?
Ask him if he's in the tsunami.
Were you in the tsunami, Bud wants to know.
No, sir, but it hit my hometown, Madras, but...
Yeah,
no,
because
it was
down there near Sri Lanka, right?
Yeah, it was in Sri Lanka. It was in India also. It actually hit my hometown of Chennai.
What's his hometown?
What's the name of it?
Chennai. Chennai.
Okay. So it hit your hometown, but you're not near there. All right. Well,
no,
look at...
luckily, I mean, my mother and my grandfather were all right.
That's good, dude.
Came up to 1 kilometer.
Yeah. Inside. Well, you know, Ram, I want you to know that I'm a big lover of India. It's a democracy. And if a nuclear war breaks out, I hope you kick Pakistan's ass.
Sir, you should come here. You will get incredible material for for the next 50 shows.
No kidding, dude. What if we were to do a live remote broadcast from India, man? That would rock.
Yes.
Dude, live from Ram's house? It's the Phil Henry Show.
I'd be honored.
Dude, that would be so awesome. Hey, Ram, always good to hear from you, brother.
Thank you for making me laugh every single day. I really mean it.
Hey, what do you do, man? You work on a computer thing over there, right?
Yes, I am a database administrator. Sir, right. I don't know if I can do this, but, you know, I have a website with lots of pictures from India. So if it is all right for me to give out that website, I'll give out that website. If not, also, I won't be offended.
No, go for it. What's the website?
www.db2, that is Delta Bravo, the number 2.
Delta Bravo 2. So that's D as in Delta, B as in Bravo 2.
Hyphen. Delta Bravo Alpha, DBA.
Okay.
.net. Yes.
And you have pictures of India, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That will blow people's mind.
Far out. All right, man. Hey, get one up there with a Phil Henry T-shirt or some kind of a thing. You know, I got this plan. If you go to Google Maps, do you ever do Google Maps?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, you know how they have the satellite picture of the whole world, right?
Yes.
I got a standing offer of $10,000 for anybody who puts a sign on the roof of their house big enough that can be seen from the satellite on Google Maps.
All right.
All right, try it for me, man. Let's see if I can see it over India.
All right, sir.
They'll be having... Yeah, listen, he's like, yeah, that's great, Phil. So I got to get back to the computer now. All right, Ram, thanks, man.
No worries.
Peace out.
Bye.
Cat's all right, isn't he? All right, that's www.db2. What do you mean, pictures of India?
Unless there's some early morning dew, I don't care.
I do. I think it's cool. I think India's pretty cool, man. A lot too many people. But between them and Pakistan, there's no freaking... what are you kidding? India's got, like, movies and stuff. Have you ever seen an Indian movie? Oh, God. Oh, God. And they're, like, part musical. And the chick will sing...
One day I had a love, and now...
And this one movie I was watching, she's singing about a guy that she's in love with, and her husband's this jealous dude, and the lover comes, but the husband's some maniac with a beard and, like, slices this guy up, and meanwhile she's singing while these two dudes are fighting to the death. She's, like, in the kitchen washing Tupperware or something. It's crazy, baby. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is John. Hello, John.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Where are you at, man?
I'm in Washington, D.C., Georgetown Law School.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Nice to have you tonight.
I'm procrastinating right now. We have finals coming up in 2 weeks. I'm sitting here on Friday night. I should be studying, so I'm listening to you.
To hell with it. You know, we'll be off the air here in about a half hour, and you can get back to it. Just a little bit
wonderful.
Of Benzedrine. Yeah, a little bit of Benzedrine, some Starbucks. You'll be happening. What are you taking?
The usual Toricon law on contracts.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I mean, what drugs are you taking? No, I'm kidding. What are you, what classes?
The usual.
The usual. What classes?
Like Toricon law, the first year classes, law school, you know?
Okay.
All the good ones.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. I'm watching your webcast. It's nice, though.
Is this the first time you've seen it? First time you've seen it?
No, I watch them, like, all the time. Weird story. I listen to you, like, for, like, the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And every time I move into, like, a new rooming situation, my roommates think I'm, like, some weird, crazy guy.
Yeah.
Because I never explain to them, like, your whole gist and your whole mode of operation.
Right.
So, like, what is this kid listening to? And I'm, like, and I'm just sitting here laughing. I'm, like, they're, like, you're ridiculous.
Are we on overnight in D.C. or something? What is the deal there?
No, you guys are on at the perfect time. Like, you guys are on from, like, 10 to, like, 12.
Oh, that's
so
cool. All right.
For me to, like, go to sleep and everything like that. So I can go to sleep listening to you.
Oh, that's great. You know what? I was living in an apartment years ago, and I was just starting. I was, like, in Ventura. And the dude in the apartment next to me was, like, a student. And he'd come home at night, man. He taped Rush Limbaugh's show. And so his, like, where he was studying was right against the wall of my bedroom. I mean, I lived in these really crappy apartments. So at night, I would hear this. Man, I had to go over there and just, oh, you got to turn that down. Man.
You used to come on the same station as Rush.
I did?
You'd be like Rush, Dr. Laura, then like Connery and Steckler, then you or something like that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so like it would be like all in one line. It's like KFI. I used to listen to you guys all the time.
Are you furious?
Like, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, life is...
Oh, I got a request. Like, you really got to do one of the women on webcast one time.
Oh, we just did Bobby tonight. Is that what
you just did Bobby? I must have missed it.
Yeah, like, you missed it. All right, well, we'll do that, and we'll get Margaret on there, too, for you.
All right, sweet, and Clara, too, because Clara's the man.
All right. Yeah, Clara is the man. Clara is a man. All right, John, thanks. Good luck at school, man.
Though.
Thanks for calling us.
Bye.
Okay, bye. This is John in Washington, D.C., and now we move to Charlotte, North Carolina. Adam, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing good, Bill.
Did you hear about Mark's going to be coming out to see you guys see the Jets this weekend?
No, I'm sorry. He's going to have to, you know, go home crying and everything.
Yeah. Now, he said, Mark says, can I wear my Jets hat? I said, the people in Charlotte are cool, man. It's not like you're going to a freaking Giants game where, you know, you're going to get beer poured on you. Or maybe I was lying. Is it going to be all right if he wears his Jet hat?
It's really cool. They're, you know, everybody's, you know, pretty laid back and everything. Just especially, you know, when we're stomping you, which will be early and often. You know, just don't go mouth and all.
Yeah. All right, dude. What is it, Sunday? Mark, you're leaving tonight, Sue. Very cool. Hey, hold on, Adam. I don't have any time. Hold on. So we're listening and talking and chit-chatting with people who are watching us on our webcast tonight. And I also want to read this really funny story my old man told me about the war, and I just found it in a history book. See, I didn't know. I thought my old man was lying about all this crap he was telling me, right? And just the other day, I talked to a bunch of dudes who were in his regiment, and I found this book, and he's mentioned in it. So you got to hear this one story. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I was just doing something that was very, very intelligent. And because what I like to do are things that are brainy. I like to do things that take, I don't know, that exercise the neural pathways. So what I did was I went to Google Maps, I hit satellite, and then I scanned over to Iceland, and then I zoomed in on Iceland to see what it looked like. Isn't that marvelous? Just wow, it's all white. What did I think I was going to see? Like with cracks in the ice? Hey, wow, I'll go to Iceland and like zoom in. Well, check it out. What is it? It's ice. I was in Greenland. Greenland is ice. Iceland is green. That's right. That's the old saying. They say that they named it that way. Well, in any event. 1-800-449-8686. All right, so anyway, Adam, Mark was here getting his feelings hurt by all of this talk about Charlotte. And you're right. I agree with you. The Jets are. No, I'm just joking around, Mark. they're very excited about their young quarterback, Mr. Bollinger. But you know,
he's not 100, so I guess you know.
Huh?
He's not 100 years old, like old.
Well, that's true. Yeah, they finally gave up on. And of course, Herman Edwards, I think, got around to maybe writing a few plays designed for this new quarterback, as opposed to having him run Cripple 43. So, watching a webcast tonight in Charlotte, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Now, are we on the air in that town, or is that another place we got taken off and put back on and taken off and put back on?
Well, just taken off.
Okay.
Oh, God, I was back in high school when I first listened to it. It was about, 5-6 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, they were just off, and then you were on for, maybe a year, I guess.
Okay. then off again.
And they changed formats on that radio station, 15 times.
Is Howard Stern back on in that market, or he was off, then he was on?
I think you went first and then him shortly thereafter.
Well, great. Well, Mark Newman's on his way, and so are the Jets. Adam, thanks for watching us tonight on the webcast.
Hey, not a problem, man. Love the show.
Right, thanks a lot. And I'd like to remind all you guys out there that my friend's place is a charity that we benefit with the sale of our Best Of CDs, as long as I have your attention. You can go to our website at www.philhenryshow.com and pick up a Best Of CD, and all the bread goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Raj, go ahead.
I was listening to your program tonight, Phil. I'm not watching webcast, but I am not from India. You know, I'm originally from Alexandria, Egypt, but I wanted to tell you that I have a website too, you know, that has pictures of Egypt. If you plug it, you know.
Okay, I mean, you're not watching the webcast.
No, I'm not.
And do you listen to the show?
Not really. But you know, since you're giving the cheap plugs,
get out of here!
No, come on, no, serious.
You got pictures of Egypt, huh?
Yes. And so, if you could just mail me the picture. Post Office Box 4, General Clearinghouse, Pasadena, California.
You're in California?
You don't think I'm in Egypt, do you? I got out of that toilet a lot.
Get out of here, you scumbag. Anyway, Rom, call us, man, because we want to get the whole, we want to get you on a t-shirt, man, and you know how it is. We want to pimp you out. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, should I tell a story to my dad? This is really cool. As I said the other night, I occasionally would go to, a search engine, and I'd enter in my father's name, because he made a lot of claims when I was a kid about his wartime exploits, which I sometimes believed, and I sometimes didn't. And I didn't know what the hell to believe, because my old man was full of a lot of crap. You know, you gotta understand, he's just one of those guys. I don't hold it against him. He's just a real messed up dude. But I did enter in his name one night, his sort of nickname, which is Herb. His full name is Herbert Lionel James Henry. Now, that's a pretty significant name. And I found him mentioned in a search, actually on a website called Military Collectors Network. So I went over to that, and I got to know a couple of guys. And one of the guys, I was emailing this guy, he was in the Irish Regiment Veterans Association. And he had more information about my dad, till finally he emailed me the other day. He said, well, Phil, here is a book. It was written in 1945. It's called The Story of the Irish Regiment of Canada, 1939-1945. And he sent it to me. And it's only 90 pages long, so I printed it all off. Now, here's why I'm telling you this. Among the many bullcrap things that I thought my dad told me, he told me one time, yeah, so anyway, I was taking a pistol off a German, and The guy's back was to me, and it looked like I was hunching this guy from behind while there's bullets flying all over the place. And when I finally got back, everybody was, you look like you were giving it to that crowd. So that's really great, Dad. No, really, it happened. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, now eat your soup. So I look in this book. Now, he's mentioned, my father's mentioned a number of times, one of them in not a very flattering way. Apparently, when the regiment went from England to Italy, he and three other guys went to Africa on some training exercise. And the guys were bothered by that because they thought they were going off to have some kicks, and the rest of them were going down to Italy. So my old man spent like 2 months in Africa, you know, eating with his fingers in a Casbah someplace. The rest of these guys are getting machine gunned in Sicily. So anyway, now he's in Italy, and I'm looking at this book, and it's 1945, and what happens is this. They are moving into an area that's near what is called the Hitler Line. And what Canada was basically doing is they were breaking through the final German defenses in that area. And my dad's was the head of a company called Company B. I'm stalling here, folks, because I want to find the exact page. You would have thought that maybe I would have gotten it before I started talking about this. But I was getting so, I was falling in such love with my voice that, well, here's a mention of him passing through his car. Anyway, here's what happens. Captain Henry, here it is right here. Captain Henry was ordered to move to intercept the Germans. They had counterattacked. It says, Captain Henry was ordered to move to intercept the Germans. As he came up with B Company, the enemy in great strength were moving towards our lines and being mowed down by the crossfire of the Westminster machine guns, which is another Canadian regiment. B Company began to gather them in, and the bag was 30 dead and 65 prisoners from the 3rd Battalion, 36th Regiment of the 16th SS Division. So these were SS. He says one of the enemy's crack outfits. And that's where I think my old man was hunching that German from behind, because here's what happened. You can hear, listen to this. He says Captain Henry moved in, and they began to bag prisoners while bullets are flying around. There's a machine guns going off from this Westminster machine guns. They took 65 SS prisoners. And I believe that that was the day that he was trying to pull the pistol out of this guy's holster while at the same time give him a little tender loving, and there's bullets flying over the place. The other thing is because that little patch that my old man had in his den is a German eagle with a swastika. Now, that could easily be I thought it was a Luftwaffe patch. It could easily be an SS patch. So there's one more little tidbit. And then the final tidbit is, it says here, Henry was a real sack of crap. No, it says, yes, here it is. Captain Henry generally was intoxicated and had to be remanded to an alcoholic center. No, it doesn't say that at all. There's another thing here where he led the company into some kind of crap. And then there's another thing. When my old man was in England, he met the King and Queen of England because they were part of the Royal Guard. So now they're down in Italy, and the book mentions His Majesty came to visit the troops and remembered many of them, including H.L.J. Hendry, who he was very glad to see. So my theory is this. My father was kind of a party animal. I think he became good pals with King George, got himself and three buddies assigned to this Africa trip. I swear to God, got himself and three buddies assigned to this Africa trip while the rest of these poor guys got to go down to Italy, because the guy wrote it, says, the rest of us didn't have that pleasure, is the way he put it. All right, that's that story. The book is called The Story of the Irish Regiment of Canada. It was in 1945. Man, I don't even know if you can get it. But there's some people that got it. It's a very dry but very accurate description of that regiment and its action in Italy. 1-800-449-8686. We'll get some more phone calls from people watching us on the webcast tonight of the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tonight we've been webcasting, and we'll do it again very soon. And we are webcasting at www.philhenryshow.com. In order to see it, you have to have a backstage pass. You can still see it. You can see it on demand by, you know, logging on, getting a backstage pass. Just check it out whenever you feel like it, man. We're streaming it, baby. And we begin our audio stream at 7:06 in the evening Pacific. People will call and say, when do you do that? Because I don't want to do those those freaking pooch-screwing MP3s no more. I'm all done with that, man. And I don't blame you, brother. With all due respect to my very good friend Brian Glicklick up at MIS and all the computer guys, they're great guys. But those MP3s, Brian, if I were someone that people didn't, you know, sort of maybe like occasionally to listen to, they would have burned me in effigy. They would have hung me up by my you-know-whats. I would have been tarred, feathered, dipped, re-dipped, polished to a high sheen, and then booted out of town because of them MP3s. People hate them. Some people dig them, but I don't know who you could possibly be. You don't hear any music. I know what you can do. Send away for the music, and then when you play the MP3, play that on a separate recorder. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Who's been hanging on the longest here? I got 31 minutes, 40. Jesus, the poor guy in Lompoc, or Lompoc. Hiya, Ben.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, man. How are you tonight?
Doing all right. And loving the webcast, man. Great job.
Oh, thanks. And you're in Lompoc, California.
Lompoc, California.
Very cool. How are things there?
Doing good.
Yeah, and where you at, man? At home or at work?
At home, sitting in my office watching on my LCD screen.
Have you got an? Are you married?
Yeah.
So you got that office where you get away from everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Got to have the cave.
Yeah, are you in the garage? Is that where it is?
No, the garage most of the time, but...
See, I know a lot of my friends, their office is in the garage. You know, the wife says, well, I know what you can do. We can put up some plasterboard and your office is in the garage.
Exactly.
You know, where you have that little electric heater and you're just, oh, God, will you heat up, you know? So you're in there and, you know, you got all those pictures. You got all the calendars and stuff, man. You got your Pamela
Anderson. The SI calendar's definitely up. Yeah, I got to have that.
So let me ask you, man. How long you been a BSP?
About a year and a half.
Okay. What the hell was that?
What was that?
Ben, I don't know, but you're in Lompoc, and that's pretty close to Vandenberg, so I got to get going. No, he's right up near that Vandenberg Air Force Base. Did I tell you about that thing that happened that night? I'm coming home.
No.
Craziest thing I ever saw, man. I mentioned it on the air. I saw what looked like two headlights in the sky, miles in the sky, but they're two totally parallel headlights way up in the sky, right?
The weather balloon, right?
Huh?
The weather balloon, right?
No. They're streaming along, and then they stop. Now, this is the way it looks to my naked eye. Who knows what's going on? They stop, and suddenly they change into this large, ever-emanating purple and green cloud and a big thing, and then it dissolves, right? Well, I mean, the freeway is slowing down. Everybody's looking. It turned out it was a Minuteman that they'd launched from Vandenberg.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and that was the second stage that was taken off. And the guy said to me that I talked to, he says, yeah, from Vandenberg to the Marshall Islands, which is 10,000 miles, I believe, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes, dude.
It was a great light show out here.
Oh, yeah. Every night it must be crazy for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And with all those convicts up there at the minimum security prison, there's never a dull moment. How'd you like to have an escaped convict from Lompoc and it's like John Mitchell or it's Bruce McNally or... All right, anyway, man, thanks for calling and thanks for watching.
No problem, man.
But there's something creepy happening on your phone line, man. I got to get out of here. So it's just going, ooh, ooh.
All
right, there's a ghost or there's somebody out there, man. I think it's General Johnson Jameson. Thanks. Time to break. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Webcast night on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, it's time for a little bit of email here. This is Valerie, and Valerie sent me this. I actually tried to go on this site. It says, hi, Phil, I was listening to what you said about your dad in the service. I happened to subscribe to a genealogy website, and I typed in your dad's name under the military records category. There's so much info on different Hendrys over the time. The thing is, I don't know which Herb this is. In the general index, there's a Herbert L. Hendry born in 1915 in Canada and lived in Palos Verdes, California. That's him. And she typed this into what? Into a military thing? There are so many interesting things available. I have the actual images of the World War I draft cards of the men in my family who were born in the late 1880s. I'm sending a picture of my desktop with the first page index of the military results to philhenryshow.com. If it looks familiar, I can send you what I find. However, if it's dull as hell, please don't slit your wrists. I mean well, Valerie. Well, thank you, Valerie. Dear Phil, I also subscribe to a genealogy website. I also have so many things to tell you. I also would like you to look at the materials that I send you, but I'm also sending a naked picture of myself to make it more interesting. Julie, Orange County. All right, Julie. Hi, Phil. I also have... I'm joking. Julie writes, I've been a big fan of yours for years, listening to your show on my iPod and laughing out loud. Ha ha. While I work makes my day, I have two questions for you. I'm curious to know, number one, how did you come up with the character Jay Santos? Every detail about this character, his accent, hearing the police radio in the background, we're here to save lives, take a peek around, someone's getting their cookies off. This kills me. Someone's getting their cookies. That voice, Jay Santos' voice, is a Pennsylvania accent, and I heard a guy like that one day on the radio who was a caller, and I was so utterly repulsed and at the same time attracted to this guy's sing-songy jackball voice, and there's nothing worse than a guy that sounds like that who says nothing at all, you know? Sounds very like he really digs himself. So I thought that's the perfect sound of a self-important moron. And Jay Santos was just a name we came up with. So that's how Jay's voice came about. And all the rest of it is just the trappings of one of these wannabe cops. Well, that's it. Thanks for watching us tonight on our webcast. We're back with more on The Phil Henry Show Monday.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.